today as we come to the table.
Here's the bottom line. He didn't do with his own kids what God called him to teach others to do. Guys, we as parents, we're called to raise our kids up in the Lord. Well, Mark, I do that. Well, let me ask you this. Are you in the Word with your kids each day? Bible doesn't say exactly how we're supposed to do this. So I don't want to lay some trip on moms and dads, but the Bible does say we're to train up our children in the Lord. And he gave instructions to Joshua. He said, you need to be doing it day and night. Now, I don't have Bible study with my kids day and night. We've grown up with the way I say, girls, I want you to do your own in the morning. And then the night we get together and try to do it. Now, does it happen 100%? No, because sometimes life happens.
Whether you have kids or not, you influence some little one. Raising or helping to raise children according to the Word is vital. Parents have possibly the most important job of all. Biblical parenting is raising them in the ways of the Lord and showing them who Christ is through the Bible and through your own actions. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark will share a little about how he raises his daughters to know the Lord, and he sets the example of spending time in the Word with God. Today is your opportunity to have faith like a child and share the Word of God with your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 18, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
There should be some evidence. You know what? He not only knows the Lord, he's called to be a pastor. And if there's not that evidence, he shouldn't be here. That's just the reality of it. And so this guy was a false pastor. Notice he's glad. And he took his ephod, the household idols, carved image, and he took his place among the people. You know what? He needed to be among the people because the people were false as well. And so this false pastor goes right in with the false people, and now they're fitting in perfectly because, again, that's where they're supposed to be because that's not where they're supposed to be, but that's where they end up because they're, you know, birds of a feather, so to speak. Well, guys, guard yourself. You don't want to be involved in something that's not of the Lord, because if you're involved in something that's not of the Lord, you know, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to go to the Mormon church. I know that's probably radical and nobody would do that, but you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying you couldn't visit one to share the gospel or have a chance to reach someone. That's not my point. I'm not getting legalistic on that. But at the same time, the Bible says this in Ephesians 5, verses 6 and 7. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. In other words, if they're living in sin, don't partake with them. Don't go along with it. You know, just because you think that it's whatever the case might be. I saw some pastor that came out. Again, I don't know what kind of church it was. Some pastor, just I was reading this last week, came out in support of the Muslims and the mosque, and he's trying to help them build a mosque, and he wants to stand with. Listen, we need to be kind to everyone and love everyone. Is everybody with me? You need to love the Muslim. You know, just because we're living in the South, and I know the South can be pretty firm about what we believe, you know. I mean, we need to love the Muslim. We need to love the Jehovah's Witness. We need to love the Mormon. We need to love everyone. The reason I say that about the South, because we're very religious in the South. And, you know, we're so afraid of jihad that I think sometimes we're thinking, you know, we're guilty of jihad, you know. We need to make sure that our heart is open. Listen, don't be afraid of anyone in any faith they're in, although it's wrong. Don't be afraid of it. You need to be open to say, you know what? I'm going to love that guy. I'm going to reach that guy. Somebody shared with me this morning. They said there's a group of Mormons that travel around now. They've converted to Christianity. And the reason they gave their life to the Lord is they met a pastor at a door who loved them. I've been mean to Mormons at the door. You ever done that? I've been mean. Shocked my daughter that I was mean to us. It's true, honey. We're going to talk for a moment. You guys just do whatever. What happened was, What I mean by that is I've had him come to the door and you know, you're about to do something and you're, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. And I'm not mean like, get away from my door. And I'm kind of like real quick, like, look, I believe in Jesus. He's the way. You need to believe in Jesus. I give him a couple of verses. Let's throw it in. One way to the Father. You can't be God and everything. So I'm glad we settled this. And I got stuff to do, right? And God's convicted me afterward, Mark, if you don't love them, if you don't love them and share your heart, how are they ever going to know love? So we do need to love them. And we do need to show grace. And sometimes, yes, that means we may be slowed down and we need to take time in being slowed down to talk to them. But listen, if you've truly given your life to the Lord, there's no such thing as a divine interruption. It's God's divine guidance. And the way I look at it is, you know what? This is what God called me to do today. It's not what I planned, but I'm going to do it because God called me to do it and I serve him. So we have to readjust. And so this false priest here, again, taking his place among the people. And by the way, it brings up another question. Who was this false priest? We're going to see, we get a name. When we get to verse 30, we're going to get his name. And I'm going to tell you his name now, but we'll see it in a moment. His name is Jonathan. And this is interesting to me because Jonathan was a descendant of Gershom, who was one of the children of Moses. So this was a direct descendant of Moses that brought this false idolatrous worship in with the Danites up into the city of Dan. Now, what was the story of Gershom? Remember what happened? God called Moses in the burning bush, go down there and set the children of Israel free. On his way down there, it says that he got sick and God was going to kill him. It doesn't even say he got sick. It says God was going to kill him. But obviously, he was sick because his wife Zipporah realized he's going to die. And so she goes back and realizes, she recognizes what it is. We didn't circumcise our son. She circumcises the son, you know, throws the foreskin at his feet. You're a husband of blood. The bottom line is Moses wasn't faithful and obedient in his own house. Moses was supposed to circumcise Gershom. Remember the covenant God made with Abraham. All your children shall be circumcised in the flesh. Why? It was a picture of cutting the flesh away from their life and living by the Spirit. He didn't do that with his own son. We don't know exactly the reason why, but he didn't. God held him accountable, and now God says to him, I'm going to kill you because you know what? I've given you revelation that others don't have. I'm using you to go down and set the children of Israel free from Egypt, and now you're going to die unless you make this right. Now, I'm not saying that if we disobey God, God just kills us, but in this case, because of the accountability that Moses had and the amount of revelation and seeing God in his glory, hearing God speak to him from a bush, he had a much higher accountability. And here's the bottom line. He didn't do with his own kids what God called him to teach others to do. Guys, we as parents, we're called to raise our kids up in the Lord. Well, Mark, I do that. Well, let me ask you this. Are you in the Word with your kids each day? The Bible didn't say exactly how we're supposed to do this. So I don't want to lay some trip on moms and dads, but the Bible does say we're to train up our children in the Lord. And he gave instructions to Joshua. He said, you need to be doing it day and night. Now, I don't have Bible study with my kids day and night. We've grown up with the way I say, girls, I want you to do your own in the morning. And then the night we get together and try to do it. Now, does it happen 100%? No, because sometimes life happens. You know, we just moved this weekend, for example. We were moving all day yesterday. We're exhausted. We're tired. It's already getting late. And I usually say this to the girls, if we can't read together, girls, get in the Word on your own. Read the Word tonight. They know how to do that. I wanted to train them up to do that. But I also feel it's important that I, as a dad, share the Word with them. Even if it's reading a chapter, even if it's just a prayer afterwards, whatever the case might be, we need to be training them up in the Lord. God holds us accountable because our eyes have been opened. And God held Moses so accountable here, he's going to actually kill him if he doesn't do it. His wife ends up doing it for him. And this is interesting to me because the results of this, we'll see later, are pretty dramatic. Simple disobedience in the home with our children and our wife can have much more impact down the road on others than we ever dreamed or imagined. Because what happened with Gershom, I think, is what led to this line of the family, very possibly. The Holy Spirit, I think, giving us a hint that there was a little bit of a curve away from the things of God there that may have helped the idolatry come into Dan through the descendants of Moses. Again, Moses, the man who brought the Word of God in, now one of his descendants bringing in false doctrine. It's a big deal. And so very, very interesting to see how God works in this. And notice here, verse 21, what it says. It says, so then he turned and departed and put the little ones and the livestock and the goods in front of them. Again, probably no doubt afraid that they would be attacked from behind. So they put their kids in the front so they'd be taken care of in case they did get attacked. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the house near Micah's gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. So Micah comes home and goes, wait, where's my stuff? Where's my idols? Where's my ephod? Where's my priest? I bought me a priest. He's gone, right? You know, who voted for the new pastor? I had one that I liked. I paid him and he was saying what I wanted him to say. You know, I don't want one that's going to say whatever. That's a whole other subject anyway. He says, they're gone. And so they gather together. He gets a group of guys with him, probably family and neighbors from around them, and they go chasing after these men of Dan, not realizing they're just heading right into a small army that they can't overtake. And finally they catch up, and look at verse 23, and they called out to the children of Dan. And so they turned around and said to Micah, what ails you that you've gathered such a company? You know, so they see him in a distance, and Micah yells out to him, hey! And they turn and go, hey, what's wrong with you, guy? Why you got such a group of people with you? What's up here? And so he said to them, look, you've taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest, and you've gone away. Now what more do I have? And now can you say to me, what ails you? What a sad verse. Look at this. Again, as we've said, first of all, if you have a God that can be stolen, you've got the wrong God. But secondly, notice here he says, the gods that I have made. Again, creating God in his image. I believe God's this way. I think God's that way. We can't do that. God's who he is. We have to conform to him. So they took the God that I made, and notice this, and the priest, they stole my pastor, and they've gone away. Now what more do I have? What a sad line that is. I have that underlined. You know why? Because he had put all of his hope in a false belief system. And when you put your hope in a false belief system, it's going to collapse one day. It's not going to hold water. It's not going to maintain. It's going to completely go under. And that's just the bottom line. At some point it will. Some may make it all the way to the end. The Mormon may make it all the way to death and not realize until they stand before God. Oops. But the bottom line is they're going to know it one day. And God's Spirit is convicting them before that time. By God's grace, Micah learns it earlier because now he has a chance to say, what more do I have? When he goes back, oh God, what more do I have? They stole my gods. They stole my priests. They've got the ephod. Now God can say, yeah, well, what, you don't need that anyway. You can have me. And now you can have a true relationship. And oftentimes it takes God getting us to a place where everything we've put our hope and our belief system in collapses. And then once that happens, now God can get our heart. And this is how the Lord works. He'll oftentimes just remove what it is we're seeking so hard and that we're trying to live for so that he can open up our eyes to what he wants us to do, and that is to come to the kingdom through him. And so his gods, his priests, what more do I have? Everything's gone, you know, because I've got the wrong belief system. And notice, and the children of Dan said to him, don't let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you and you lose your life with the lives of your household. Hey, you and all your friends are going to die if you don't shut your mouth and turn around and go back. Now, what choice does he have? He's facing an army of 600 men. There's no doubt he didn't have that many. And they're ready for battle. Who knows what these guys have? I don't know. But the bottom line is he realizes, okay, I can't do this. I'm busted. I've got to get out of here. And so although it was bitter for him, he had to turn around. Look at verse 26. Then the children of Dan went their way. And when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. So they took the things that Micah had made and the priest who had belonged to him. Note that. Micah made them. It belonged to him. The Holy Spirit keeps pointing this out. It had nothing to do with God. And they went to Laish. This is that region up there that is now Dan. To a people quiet and secure. Remember, they already spied them out and they had seen how they could come and attack them and just destroy them and terrorize them. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. Guys, they believed that God sent them on this mission. The Bible didn't say God sent them on this mission. Matter of fact, God had given Dan their inheritance somewhere else a long time ago. And Dan was disobedient, didn't take their inheritance. So now they decide to go up there and wipe out these innocent people that are living in peace, destroy them and terrorize them, kill them and their wives and their children, and take their land over. And no doubt, when they were done killing everyone in this massacre of terrorism, they set up their false god and said, God is pleased with us. We have honored our God. And now God is happy. Again, very, very sincere, but sincerely wrong and very evil before God. That's exactly what has just happened here. And so the city is now established. And notice verse 28, there was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley which belongs to Beth-Rahob. So they rebuilt the city and they dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city was formerly Laish. And then the children of Israel set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan, here's the Jonathan I told you about, the son of Gershom, again, a direct descendant of Moses, the son of Manasseh, and his sons, so now he carries this on with his family, his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of the captivity of the land. And we know later on it was taken captive by the Philistines in the days of Saul, and they moved the tabernacle from Shiloh to Nob, and then David moves it eventually into Jerusalem. But notice this last verse. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. In other words, there was a place that true worship was going on. There was a place that God had ordained down in Shiloh. The tabernacle was set up. There were priests that were approved. You could have gone to where you heard the truth. You could have done things right with God rather than create your own God, rather than make idols, rather than have your own priests and your own belief system. But instead, you chose to do that rather than go where God had provided. And guys, again, that's the same thing that's happening today with many people. God has provided a way to seek God in truth, and that is through Jesus Christ, His Son, and the death on the cross. That's the same as the Shiloh tabernacle. Jesus died on the cross. He's the way to follow God and worship God and seek God the right way. But a lot of people say, well, I'm going to stay up here in Dan. I'm going to stay up here. I'm going to do things my way. I hear you say that that's the only way to the Father, but I believe that God accepts everyone how they are, and so therefore I'm going to go this way. That's not what the Bible teaches. God will accept everyone. But not the way they are. They have to repent of their sin, come to Christ, and receive the Lord. That's the only way they have access to the Lord. Now, this is interesting to me as well, because I think there's a connection here to what happens with the city of Dan. They were the first place to introduce idolatry into the nation of Israel after God brought them into the land. The first official place. There were idols here and there. But this was the first official group of the children of Israel to bring idol worship in after God put everyone out and God brought the children of Israel in. Why is that significant? Because I believe there's a heavy consequence when we're disobedient to the Lord on that level. Mark, what do you mean? When you go read the book of Revelation and you read, the Bible says, in the last days, God will pour His Spirit out on the nation of Israel. This is after the rapture. God's going to pour His Spirit out on the nation of Israel. He's going to save 12,000 from each tribe. And out of those 12,000, what they're going to do will be 12,000 Jews. They're going to evangelize the world. The church is gone. The church has been removed in the rapture. God now needs a witness. He raises up 12,000 from each tribe. The Bible says they'll be witnesses to the entire world of the power of Jesus Christ. Not only saved, the honor of being saved, but the honor of being God's voice during the great tribulation after the church is taken out of here. Now, what's interesting about that, when you go back and read that list, you're going to notice one tribe conspicuously missing. Guess who that tribe is? The tribe of Dan. The tribe of Dan will not have 12,000 saved in the last days. Now, will any Danites get saved? No doubt. But the tribe of Dan will not only miss out on the salvation of that large group of people, the tribe of Dan will miss out on being witnesses to the world during those final days after God resurrects the nation of Israel. Why? I believe it links back to right here. God held them accountable for introducing false idolatry into the nation of Israel. Moses brought the law. The Danites, by Moses' descendants, brought in idolatry, and it caused the entire nation to suffer greatly. And now because of that, they have a great consequence. They're going to miss out on a lot of the inheritance that God had for them and a lot of the blessing. Now, what's the point for us? Don't think that decisions you make now do not affect your blessing and inheritance with the Lord. Because disobedience now will affect what happens with us later and in eternity. And for the tribe of Dan, they paid a heavy price. And they're going to pay a heavy price still yet in the future. Now, for those of you that are like me that are going, well, I've already blown at them because I've messed up so much, I probably have no inheritance in heaven whatsoever. And again, I often joke and say, I'm going to be the guy up there standing holding the sparkler. You know, at least I've got that. You know, one that never burns out and doesn't make your eyes have white things. You know, it's just really a cool one, right? Those that play with sparklers know what I'm talking about. Those that caught things on fire with sparklers probably know more of what I'm talking about. Anyway, some of us are more mischievous than others. But the bottom line is we do miss out on what God has for us down here, and we miss out on reward when we're disobedient. And that's what happened to the tribe of Dan. Here's the good news. The good news is when you go and read the millennial kingdom, and when God comes back, this is during the great tribulation, they lose all that. In the millennial kingdom, the Lord comes back and He establishes all the tribes of Israel, and it says that He gives each tribe their inheritance and gives them territory that they'll be living in during that 1,000-year reign along with us. And guess who's listed in the inheritance and gets their reward? Dan. Isn't our God gracious and merciful and forgiving? Here's the principle. God spanks His kids, and we can forfeit blessing by being disobedient. Don't do that. And I'm speaking to myself as well. But God is so gracious that if we love Him and follow Him, He is good and forgives, and He has our inheritance in place in the kingdom of God. Isn't that good news? That is good news. Because if it wasn't for that, I know that I would get nothing other than, well, glad you made it, you know? Other people, welcome and you glorious, come the glory of the Lord. Oh, it's Mark. You got in. Come on in. And welcome, glory to you and to you and whatever. Like, okay, I got to walk by, look at him, wave, you know. And God has an inheritance for us and a blessing, and He is good. Guys, as we finish today, I want to challenge us with two things. Number one, As believers, are you knowingly living in disobedience this morning? Are you knowingly living in disobedience? If you are, you're losing reward. You're losing inheritance. You're losing the blessing of the Lord right now in your life, and maybe for your kids down the road, even as Moses threw Gershom. Turn from it today. Say, God, I want to get everything you have for me, and I want to make sure that I leave everything I have to my kids after me, that they can be blessed as well. And so that should be our heart's desire. And I encourage you to do that this morning if that's where you are. God will forgive you. God has blessing. God has inheritance. Receive it. But for those that maybe you don't know the Lord and you've been listening to me and you sincerely believe you're going to get to heaven by whatever means you've come up with. Maybe it's not idols and an ephod and your own pastor. But you've come up with some series of, I think if I do more good than I do bad. Or I think if I just whatever, you're not going to get in. The Bible says you will not enter the kingdom of God. The Lord will say, depart from me, I never knew you. Because there's only one way in. It's through the cross. No one goes to the Father except by me, Jesus said. And so I want to give you that opportunity this morning to do that in case you don't know the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to pray first of all for those of us in here that know you. And Lord, we've been forfeiting a lot of reward. A lot of the inheritance you would have given us, even down here, we've thrown it away because we've lived for ourselves or we've lived in disobedience or whatever the case might be, and things you wanted to do that haven't been done because of the consequence in our life. As a matter of fact, it's worse because we've brought consequence. Not only do we not get the blessing, but now we do get the consequences. God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Cleanse us. And Lord, for those of us in here that are convicted by your Spirit, we know we're living a way we shouldn't. God, let us help us to repent right now and to make it right, not just for our sake and the goal of inheritance, but for our wives, our children, God, those around us that are affected by the things we do. So God, have mercy on us. And right now, if that's you, I encourage you, cry out to the Lord. If you're a believer and you're there in that way this morning, cry out and ask his forgiveness. Get it right. Lord, I pray if there's any here that have sincerely believed they were going to heaven because they were doing nice things, or that maybe because they did more good than bad, or whatever the reasoning is, they're religious, they go every Sunday, and or whatever. Lord, it's not going to get them in the kingdom. And you've convicted them of that. And if that's you and you're convicted that you are not going to get in the kingdom by your good works or anything else that you try to do as you make God in your image, rather than letting God conform you into his, then I encourage you to believe that Jesus died for you on the cross. If you believe Jesus died for you on the cross and his blood forgives your sin, I want you to pray that right now. And just say to him, Lord, I believe you died for me on the cross and your blood cleansed me from my sin. Lift that up to the Lord and then ask him to forgive you. Say, Lord, because you died for me, please forgive me of my sins and wash me clean.
What a pleasure it's been to have you with us today for this edition of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is walking us through the book of Judges. This, of course, was a time in Israel's history prior to the era of the kings of Israel. Time and time again, Israel was in a precarious situation of being taken advantage of. And God allowed someone to come in and help the nation of Israel be rescued from slavery or oppression. Isn't this such an interesting thing that translates well beyond the Old Testament times? Jesus became the ultimate rescuer who came to rescue mankind from a state of sin and slavery. For those who reject Jesus and his salvation, there are judgments and consequences that come with that choice. But that's not what God wants for any person. He'd much rather have you enter into the heavenly family of God, accepting the invitation that Jesus has offered on his death on the cross. If you're unsure of what all of this means, we invite you to learn more at thewaymedia.net. While there, you can click on the link to Calvary Knoxville, where we have a variety of resources available to you. You can also reach us at our phone number, 865-609-1385. Once again, that phone number to call for questions, concerns, or prayer requests is 865-609-1385. Thanks so much for tuning into the Book of Judges today. We look forward to hearing what Pastor Mark has to share next time about more judges in the Old Testament and what the purpose of each one was. This has been Come to the Table.
come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.